Now, this is the day that's celebrated in this country as Mother's Day. What is a mother? Simply giving birth to a child does not make one a mother any more than a man siring a child as a father. There is much more to motherhood than just giving birth. What is a mother? Webster says the mother is a female parent. That doesn't begin to touch it. A mother is a walking encyclopedia. Her children expect her to know where the sun goes at night, how jet propulsion works, what are the principal exports of Thailand, and where kittens come from. And then one question I know that our children ask us, why is the sky blue? Mother's supposed to know all of that. These are the questions that are asked her. A mother is a master mechanic who can get a child's leg out of a bicycle chain and fix anything with cellophane tape and a hairpin. That's mother. I remember my mother. She used to wear an apron and she always had these pins. These little thread and needle in the pocket. Whenever anything happened, she'd pin it up and solve the problem. She is a practical nurse who can remove splinters and loose teeth painlessly. Stop an earache in the middle of the night and cure a case of measles before the fourth grade. A mother in part, not all. She is a sage who is wise enough to know when her son has reached the stage at which he would rather die than be kissed in public. How about that, Matt? Not yet? All right. Not yet. You don't mind. Okay. A mother is the Bible's most honored woman. The most significant phrase using mother is found in 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, and this is the phrase, his mother was, and that occurs 20 times. His mother was. There must be a reason for that. Mothers have a strong influence, and one of the sweetest words in the English language is mother. Don't you think so? Mommy. That's what they, some children address them. Mama. Mother dear. What a word. Now mothers have a strong influence on their daughters. Ezekiel chapter 16, please. Mothers have a strong influence. By the way, that's one of the problems today. We don't have enough mothers. Now, I'm not against women working. In fact, the Bible says Moses' wife was working when he met her. So was Jacob's wife. So it is not a question that women should not work. But this is the question. You cannot work outside the home and maintain a home. And the figures show that more and more women are going out into the business world. And we have fewer and fewer mothers. It's no disgrace, mothers, sisters, to be at home. As a matter of fact, my own strong conviction is you cannot have a home without a mother in it. That's my conviction. I remember when my mother was away on maternity leave with my next to the last brother. Then they used to keep them in the hospital 10 days. Some of you older ones remember that. Now you get up the next day or maybe the same day and get out. But they used to keep them in the hospital 10 days. And my mother's sister came to cook for us. And I have always wondered how two people raised in the same house could cook so differently. There was no resemblance between what she cooked and what my mother cooked. And so for 10 days, I just had bread and milk. And when mother came home, she wasn't up to cooking. But I was glad. Mother was home. Ezekiel 16, verse 44. A divine principle. Behold, everyone that useth proverbs shall use this proverb against thee. As the mother, so is her daughter. There is a poem that reads, the child, the daughter, is the mother of the mother. All young ladies, you are deciding right now what kind of mother you're going to be. The story is told of a young girl, and in the neighborhood was a cranky old woman. And she says, Mother, how do you get to be a cranky old woman? And mother said, just be a cranky young woman. You get that. You are now deciding what kind of person you're going to be. What kind of mother you're going to be. But that means that the mothers must set good examples. I'll give you an example. Happened with a relative of mine. They were given a school assignment. Write a composition about the person that you would like to be and tell why. And this young girl wrote, I would like to be a woman like my grandmother because she cooks so well. We must set examples so that our children will reach out after them. It has been said, all women become like their mothers. And I think there's truth in that. Concerning sons, and this goes for daughters too, is a little poem by Wallace. It reads, they say that man is mighty. He governs land and sea. He wields a mighty scepter over lesser powers that be. But a mightier power and stronger man from his throne has hurled. The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Mothers, you are deciding what your children are going to be. You have a big say in what the future of this world is going to be, how they are trained. Now turn with me, please, to 2 Chronicles chapter 22. 2 Chronicles chapter 22. When our brother turned to Chronicles this morning, I said, well, he may be touching on my subject. Which would be all right, you see, because that would be confirmation of the Lord's will. 2 Chronicles chapter 22. The influence of a mother. The inhabitants in Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, king in his stead. For the band of men that came up with the Arabians to the camp had slain all the elders. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign. He reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Athaliah, the daughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother was his counselor to do wicked. And I know of some mothers who have trained their children to do wicked. I am thinking of one mother had two sons, and she trained them to steal. And if they didn't steal to her satisfaction and bring home what she wanted, she wouldn't give them supper. The influence of a mother is great. take time, mothers and future mothers, to train the children. Now, again, I say, I'm not saying that you shouldn't go out to work, but you can't work in that office there and train your child at the same time and put the child in some nursing home. Who in a nursing home is going to train your child the way you want to train? You've got to be there with the child. Judges chapter 17. A mother can be an influence of evil. Judges chapter 17. Verse 1. There was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. He said to his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou didst curse and speak of in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. He stole from his mother. What should his mother say? What should his mother say? What did she say? His mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. He's a thief. He stole from his mother. And she says, the Lord bless you. You read the rest of the story of the chapter and see how things went. Mothers, you have a responsibility to train your children in the fear of the Lord. And don't be afraid to train them. I remember years ago, this new psychology of training children, I don't know where they got it from. But this lady came with her little boy. He was about maybe 6 years old. And his name was John, not this son. His name was John. And this boy started tearing up the place and banging and jumping. And what do you think his mother said to him? Is that John? Of course it's John. Why ask the boy if he's John when he is John? Take him and train him. And don't be afraid, beloved, to apply the Board of Education to the child's seat of learning. Don't be afraid. It's in the book. Or if you whip the child, that's cruelty. The same Proverbs that tells us to apply the Board of Education to the seat of learning tells us if you do it right, you won't kill the child. The Bible doesn't teach child punishment or abuse. And one of the reasons that we're having so much trouble with our children, there is no mother at home. And when she is at home, she doesn't punish the children. She does like Micah, as we just read. He stole the money and she says, God bless you. Several things are going through my mind at this time, but I cannot take time to deal with them. Now, Exodus chapter 16. We have read of mothers whose influence was for evil, not for good. Now we want to look at the other side. Mothers who had a good influence on their children. And may I say this, beloved? You see, this is not only for the mothers here, but it's for the young sisters. Because one day in the will of the Lord, you may become mothers. And you have to know how to approach the problem. Exodus chapter 6. Verse 18. The sons of Kohath, Amram, Ishar, and Hebron, and Uzziel, and the years of the life of Kohath were 133 years. Now, you say, well, what's the point of those names? I'm not going to go into detail. But we had a brother in New York who used to say, when you find all these names, read them. Number one, it'll teach you patience. Read them and pronounce them correctly. And number two, if your name were there, would you want your name to be omitted in the reading? So when we read these names, read them. Verse 20. Amram took Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife. She bare him Aaron and Moses. The years of the life of Amram were 137 years. Jochebed, mother of Moses. Chapter 2, please. Verse 9. Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away, nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. The child grew. She brought him into Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She called his name Moses because, she said, I drew him out of the water. You know the details. His sister, children are smart. She saw him there. Can I get a nurse for you? And she got his mother. Now, what do you think the mother taught him? Acts chapter 7. We knew that he grew up as an Egyptian and was trained as an Egyptian. Acts chapter 7. And verse 22, Moses. 7 and 22, are we all ready? Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. We sometimes think back, oh, those old-timers, they didn't know much. Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. You remember when you first did algebra? Moses did it. Wisdom of the Egyptians. You remember when you did geometry? Now, Moses didn't use the method that we use, but he got the right answers. He was trained in all, by the way, when they exposed these Egyptian mummies, look back at things Egyptian. The colors are today the same as they were hundreds of years ago when they were applied. Moses knew how to do that. We still don't know how to do it. Now, Hebrews chapter 11, please. Hebrews 11. With all this training and all this knowledge and all this deep understanding, Hebrews 11. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, and young fellows here, you're going to come to years when you have to stand on your feet and make a decision. When he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Why? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. I wonder why. It is my firm conviction that his mother, Jochebed, said to him, Moses, you are growing up as an Egyptian, but you are one of us. You see how we are? We're all slaves. You see how ill-treated we are? He chose rather to serve ill treatment, affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Who taught him that? Where did he learn that? His mother taught him. She only had him a few years, but she got a whole lot into him. And mothers, I often say, just see these little children here. They can take in more than you think, and they know more than you think. Teach them. And mothers, sing to your children. Every hymn that I learned in Sunday school, I knew before I got to Sunday school. My mother used to sing them at home. The ring they sang, Jesus loved me, mighty army of the young, Jesus loved me for Sunday, and I knew it. And I remember one day I said to my mother, Mother, I like to hear you sing, you have a nice voice. She said to me, Arthur, I'm not a singer. No, she wasn't a coloratura soprano, like these famous singers. But I can still hear her sing. And that voice still sounds good to me. Sing to your truth. Sing to your truth. Judges chapter 13. Teach your children. Let them know. I have often said it and I'm going to say it again. If I had died at age 4, I would have gone straight to a lost eternity. I understood salvation at age 4 as well as I understand it now. Your children can understand. Teach them that they need to be saved. Judges chapter 13. That, verse 2. There was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah. His wife was barren and bare none. And mark you, the Bible doesn't give her name. The angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman. I wonder why the angel of the Lord didn't appear unto Manoah the man. In Abraham's day, the angel of the Lord appeared to Abraham. And I wonder why he didn't appear to Manoah. And said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren, and bearest not. Thou shalt conceive, and bear a son. Therefore, beware, I pray thee. You talk about prenatal care. Here it is. We often look back and think those folks didn't know much. I tell you, this Bible is a book of knowledge. You're going to have a child, verse 4. Beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine or strong drink, and eat not anything unclean. And why are so many babies born drug addicts today with other deformities? Why? Wrong prenatal care. It's right here in the Bible. You shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come on his head. The child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistine. Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me. His countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God, very terrible. I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. But he said, Behold, you are going to conceive and bear a son. Drink no wine or strong drink. Many babies are born today under the influence of alcohol at birth. Why? Because their mothers have been drinking. And all these other diseases added. That's, you see, this is one of the reasons I like the Bible. It has everything in it. Everything that you need to know. Everything that would make for a healthful and peaceful life. Neither eat any unclean thing. The child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah entreated the Lord and said, and again I ask, why did the Lord appear to his wife first and not to him? As the man, he should be the head of the house. And head doesn't mean that you take your foot and step on your wife. That's not the meaning of head. One day we'll discuss that. Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again unto us and teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. That's another. I remember my father said, he had 7. As soon as I knew that you were conceived, I started to pray for you. He didn't wait until you were born. When we were in the womb, he prayed for us. You know one of the results of that? All seven were saved as youngsters. Don't wait till they're born. Pray for them before they're born and after they're born. Pray for the truth. Pray for all these precious young ones here. I like to watch them. Their life and their vigor and their activity. I like to watch them. God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. Again I ask, why did the angel of the Lord come to Manoah, or rather to his wife, and not to Manoah? And her name isn't even given. But God saw fit to contact her. It's like what you read in Luke chapter 3, I think it is. So-and-so was proconsul, so-and-so was governor, so-and-so was... And the Lord came to John the Baptist in the wilderness. It's amazing how he doesn't use these would-be big fellows. And beloved, if you want the Lord to speak to you, get small. Get insignificant, and he will talk. Let's read on, please. Verse 10. The woman made haste and ran and showed her husband and said unto him, Behold, a man hath appeared unto me that came unto me the other day. Manoah rose and went after his wife and came to the man and said, Are you the man that spoke unto the woman? And he said, I am. Manoah said, Now let thy words come to pass. How shall we order the child? How shall we do unto him? The angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh to the vine. Neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I have commanded her, let her observe. Now let's read on. I'm trying to skip some verses here. The time is good. Verse 15, Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. The angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, Though thou detain me, I will not eat. When the angel of the Lord and the Lord and those heavenly hosts, three men came to him, Abraham said, Abide a while, I'll go and get something for you to eat. And they waited and they ate. Why not with Manoah? The angel said, I appreciate it, but no thanks. That's homework. Manoah knew not that he was the angel of the Lord. Many of your Bibles say, and. Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? The angel of the Lord said, Why askest thou after my name, seeing it is secret? So Manoah took a kid, a meat offering, and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord. The angel did marvelously, wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass, when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. Manoah and his wife looked on and fell on their faces on the ground. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew he was an angel of the Lord. Now what? Manoah said to his wife, We shall surely die because we have seen God. Good to have a smart wife. Look what she said. His wife said, If the Lord were pleased to kill us, he wouldn't have received the burnt offering and the meal offering from us. Neither would he have showed us these things, nor would, as at this time, have told us such things as these. If the Lord wanted to kill us, he wouldn't come and talk with us. She showed, and this is why I believe that the angel of the Lord appeared to me. Manoah's wife, she had deeper and greater spiritual insight than her husband. That's why the Lord appeared to her. And we're going to see it as we read on. Verse 24, the woman bare a son, called his name Samson. The child grew and the Lord blessed him. The spirit of the Lord began to move him at times and so forth. Now come to chapter 14. Samson went down. You see, we're not discussing him. the child of God, don't go down. The minute you start going down, you're headed for trouble. Saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Then he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Give her for me to wife. His father and his mother said unto him, is there no woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? Samson said unto his father, get her for me, she pleases me well. And that was, as we've seen in recent studies, that is his whole downfall. She pleases me. Now, of course, the word of the Lord, and you get it in detail in Joshua and in Judges, concerning the children of Israel marrying outsiders. It was against, his parents were right. She pleases me. I am not concerned with what God said, I am concerned with me. And that's what they're teaching today. The ego. The super ego. I must satisfy myself. And do you know, time doesn't permit. I could tell you of divorce cases where after two people have been together a number of years and have raised two or three children, all of a sudden, one partner doesn't please the other. And the psychiatrists and the marriage counselors say, let them separate. Now, verse 4. His father and his mother knew now that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, and at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. Now, verse 5. Then went Samson down, and his father and his mother to Timnath, and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and so forth. Verse 8. After a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. He took thereof in his hands and went on eating, and came to his father and his mother, and he gave to them, and they did eat, but he told them not. Now, verse 10. His father went down to the woman. Where was mother? Father went down, the mother didn't go. Why? Greater spiritual insight. And ladies, they tell me that the Bible's against women. That's nonsense. A woman is the most honored person in many sections of the Bible. Naomi and Ruth, you want it? Let's read it. Ruth chapter 1. Not only is this a masterpiece of insight and on her part, it's a masterpiece of literature. They give courses in some colleges called the Bible as literature. It is literature. But we read it as more than mere literature. We read it as the Word of God. So, Ruth chapter 1, verse 16. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or return from following after thee. Whither thou goest, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. Thy God, my God. Where you die, I will. This is a masterpiece. Not only of her subtle opinion, it's a masterpiece of expression. I remember we were in high school, and we were studying Shakespeare, and the teacher asked, which of you could say it better? Let me see the hands of anyone here who can say this better. This is a masterpiece by a woman. God does not put down women. First Samuel chapter 1. And I'll soon be finished. I have 2 minutes. I will not be finished in 2 minutes. So I'll give you back the time on Wednesday. Maybe. First Samuel chapter 1. There was a certain man of Ramoth of Zophim of Mount Ephraim. His name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuth, the Ephraimite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, the name of the other Peninnah.
Benaiah had children, but Hannah had no children. This man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. The two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Benaiah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. Her adversary, Benaiah, provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. That must have been something. You have no children. What's wrong with you? What happened? God is punishing. Oh, that must have been terrible. She did so, verse 7, year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Elkanah said to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. Oh, sisters, pray. And pray for your children. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but you will give me thine handmaid a male child. Why a male child? Why didn't she want a female child? Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. There shall no razor come upon him. Now we've gone through this in the past, but for the sake of time, we won't. But she wanted a male child. Her husband, Elkanah, was a Levite. You get that in the first chapter. He was a Levite. He had access to the house of God. And if by Elkanah she had a male child, that child would have access to the house of God. Did he? He surely did. She prayed with insight and understanding. A male child. And she made a vow. Verse 24. When she had weaned him, she took him up with her, 3 bullocks, 1 ephah of flour, a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh. The child was young. They slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. She said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition. Therefore, I have returned him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be for the Lord. Isn't that nice? Children raised for the Lord. And all because she prayed. And you know, when you trust the Lord and honor him, Benaiah was after her because she had no children. Chapter 2, please. Verse 21. The Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters.
All right.
Waiting on the Lord. Don't worry about what people say and how they tease you, perplex you. Wait on the Lord. And there she had not only the son that she asked for, but she had additional children. Second Timothy, please. Verse 5. Speaking of Timothy, Paul writes, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned, the genuine faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. You see what happens there? Faith in the grandmother, then in the daughter, and then in the son.
I didn't read, and there are two portions there in Deuteronomy, you might read them.
But grandparents have a responsibility for their grandchildren.
Look it up when you go home.
I am persuaded indeed.
Time to stop. But mothers, you have a profound influence on your children. We've all heard of Sir Walter Scott. Probably read some of his works. He's one of those fellows that wasn't always easy to understand him. He could use more semicolons and colons and everything but a period. The sentence never ended. His mother was an artistic woman and a writer. George Washington, he was a very orderly sort of individual. His mother was a very orderly woman. John Hancock. What do we remember mostly about him? His signature, his handwriting. He got that from his mother. She insisted that he write exactly. Mothers, you are a profound influence upon the children. And I'm going to read... Oh, there's one here I must read for you. The influence of mothers on their daughters. Yes, here it is.
A bride of several months was sawing away at the end of a ham. Why, asked the neighbor, are you sawing off the end of that ham? Because my mother always did it, the bride replied. A few days later, the neighbor met the bride's mother. Your daughter tells me you always saw off the end of a ham before you bake it. I wonder why. Frankly, the mother replied, I do it because my mother did it. The neighbor phoned the grandmother, who lived in the same town. The grandmother let her in on a secret. I never owned a baking pan large enough to hold a ham. That's why I cut off the head.
But it came down to daughter and granddaughter. Oh, mothers. You have a wonderful duty, a wonderful opportunity to train young children. Now, there's one hymn I want to read. It's not in our hymn book. Growing up in New York City, we lived in apartment houses, you see. Rectangular in shape. All these houses along here, along here, and along here. And in the center was an open space. We called it the backyard. Mother would send us to play in there. No automobiles, you see. So we'd play in there. And there was a man who would come sing. And he would sing various songs. And then he would say, one penny of bread. And folks would throw out a few coins, and others would throw out packages containing food. And this is one song that he sang that I have never forgotten. When I was but a little child, well, I recollect how I would grieve my mother with my folly and neglect. And now that she has gone to heaven, I miss her tender care. Oh, Savior, tell my mother I'll be there. She prayed for me. It's the same thing that you find with, I forget his name, that's somewhere in. But anyhow, this mother did not want her son to go to Rome. Rome was like New York City, Sin City. Okay? Augustine is. But Augustine insisted on going to Rome. And mommy just kept praying and praying and praying. And while Augustine was at Rome, he met Ambrose, an outstanding Christian who led Augustine to the Lord. And many of you know the life of Augustine and how he served the Lord. The prayers of his mother. Tell mother I'll be there.
In answer to her prayer, this message Blessed Savior to her bear, tell me.